chapter 16 and verse number 9, it says that the heart of man makes his plans, but God's the one who orders his steps. We make our plans, but God has a plan for us. He has something in mind for us that doesn't necessarily always jive with the plans that we have. So from Adam in the book of Genesis until John in the book of Revelation, we see God interacting with men. And there's a whole lot of great men in that. In those 66 books from Genesis to Revelation, I mean, you got Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Elijah and Elisha, and you could go on, Daniel and David and Solomon, and a lot of greats in there. And if you want to read about them, go to Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Fame of Faith, and you'll read about some of the great things that they did. But what's interesting, or what's really good about the Bible, is the Bible doesn't just tell us the good things about these people. The Bible covers everything. I mean, it covers the highs and the lows. I mean, it talks to us about the mountaintop experiences that these people had, but then it takes us down into the valleys when they were as bad as they could be, as bad as bad could be. It goes from those victories, those days that they're victorious and on top of things and really serving the Lord, to the abject total failures, the dismal failures of their life. And it tells us everything, their strengths, their weaknesses. We get it all about them. And I don't think there's anybody in the Bible that shows us the contrast between the ups and the downs more than Peter does. The failures and the successes, the mountaintops and the valleys. I think Peter really is the epitome of this impetuous failings of the flesh. He fails over and over and over again. We see him in this scene of majestic worship on the Mount of Transfiguration. And then next time down the road, we see him drawing a sword in defiance of what the Lord had told him to do in the garden. And then we find him denying and cursing the name of God at the arrest of Jesus. So for the next 8 weeks, we're going to look at Peter's life. And it's not so that you just gain an intellectual knowledge about Peter. I want you to see yourself in Peter's life, because that's what it's all about. I want you to see his ups and his downs, and you will identify with more things in the life of Peter than maybe any other character in the New Testament. As we look at Peter's life, learn from his successes and his failures. Now look at chapter 5, and let me read these first 11 verses, and it'll set the stage for our message this morning. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out from them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I'll let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and to help them, and they came and filled both boats that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken, and so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him. Now, when you look through that passage and you read that passage, you hear what the scriptures have to say. There are three truths you need to keep in mind. They're listed there in the bullet, but let me just highlight them a little bit. Truth and understanding come in some unexpected ways. I am in my 45th year of pastoring. Start my 46th year in October of this year, full-time pastoring. I am beginning my 17th year here at Bulverde Baptist in February. I've been preaching since I was 16, so I've been preaching for 53 years. And one thing I have learned is to realize that the truth that God wants me to know sometimes comes in pretty unexpected ways. Peter had no idea his life was about to totally change on that morning when he was sitting on the shore cleaning his nets. He was going about business as usual until the Lord came and said, "Hey, launch out a little bit." And what you need to understand is that everything in life, in our lives, is pretty unpredictable. In John chapter 3 and verse number 8, Jesus said that the Spirit blows wherever He wants. It goes however He wants, blows wherever He wishes. And that phrase from Jesus that says, launch out into the deep, I'm here to tell you that can come at any time, and it probably will come when you least expect it. The second truth you need to remember when you read this is that this truth and understanding comes in the course of daily obedience. Fishermen fish, right? I mean, that's what they do. And they knew, Peter and those who were fishing with him, they knew what it was to fish in that sea. They knew that the best time of fishing was at night, and so they'd been out all night long fishing. And now they're back on the shore, they're cleaning their nets, they're mending their nets, getting ready for another night of fishing. Fishermen fish, teachers teach, singers sing. I mean, that's just the way that it is. But it was in the course of this daily, normal activity that they began to understand some truth that God wanted them to understand. You know, we're looking for that big mountaintop experience, aren't we? We're looking for that flash of lightning. We're looking for some big thunder to roll and to get our attention. And we often pray and say, Lord, would you show me your will? Really what we're saying is, Lord, do something special. I mean, show me, give me some kind of a feeling. Make me have some kind of experience so that I know that it's really your will. But that's not how it happens. In the normal course of events, during the time of doing just what is the normal daily activity and being obedient to the Lord on a day-to-day basis, it's in those normal course, in that normal course of events that God will more than likely show you what He wants you to know. He will give you that truth and that understanding. And the third thing here is that truth and understanding only come after those first steps of obedience. Peter, they're sitting there, and Andrew and James and John, they're washing their nets, they're mending their nets, they're getting the seaweed and the twigs and the sticks out of it. They're making sure that all of the net is fine, that there's nothing broken anywhere so fish can't get through it as they try to catch them the next night. And Jesus comes to them. He comes and He gets in the back of one of the boats that belonged to Peter, and He says, launch out a little bit so that I can teach. And he had no idea. Peter said, okay. Now, we don't know if Peter probably had heard about Jesus at this point, because he was becoming pretty popular. Crowds were gathering to listen to him. So I'm sure that Peter knew who he was. And Jesus climbs in the back of Peter's boat and says, just push out a little bit. Let me be able to teach from the boat. But he had no idea that there was this incredible miracle around the corner. He had no thought in his mind that he was going to see his entire life change. So in the course of normal events, just being obedient on a daily basis, he takes this first step of obedience, which really is pretty simple. Just push the boat out from the shore. Launch out just a little bit. And so from that floating pulpit, there off of the shore at the sea, Jesus teaching the people, he says to Peter, launch out into the deep. So here is the second command that he gives to him. You know, that small obedience at the first, it's what led to the second obedience, which led to the incredible miracle that God was going to do. So as you go through life, as we look at Peter's life and as you look at your life, understand that God will show you truth and He will give you understanding in unexpected ways in the course of normal obedience to what He has you to do in your daily life. So let's just jump in. And let's unpack these verses one at a time, or one little phrase at a time here, and look at about five different words. In verse 1, 2, and 3, we find that they were out there fishing, and the word I want you to write down in your bulletin is the word failure. He starts out from the basis of failure. Success, you have to understand, and this may sound crazy, but success begins with failure. Fishing is hard work. And these guys were not weekend fishermen. These were professional fishermen. This is how they provided for themselves and for their families. This is what they did to make a living. And they were out there fishing all night long. Peter and Andrew and James and John. This was not just, hey, let's go fishing, guys. This was, all right, Monday morning, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday, Saturday. They were fishermen. That's what they did. They caught fish. They sold their fish. They'd been out fishing all night long, and they had failed. They hadn't caught one single fish. Somebody told me once it's not about catching the fish. It's just about fishing. You don't always catch, but you can always fish. I don't know. I'm too impatient. I want to be catching. I want to be doing something. But they'd been out there all night long, been putting the nets out, pulling them in, putting the nets out, pulling them in. Not one single fish in their net. It's morning. They're on the seaside now. They're cleaning their nets. They're mending their nets. They're tired. They're grumpy. They're ready to go home and take a nap or whatever it is they did after they had fished all night. And Jesus asked Peter, "Can I use your boat?" And Peter complies. And he comes to Peter in the midst of failure. They had failed. They had been out all night long and hadn't caught one single thing. But God takes the ordinary and he turns it into this incredible miracle. He allows personal failures in our lives in order to prepare us for the miracle that he has. You see, I think that God has to strip us of our self-confidence before we ever see the need to put our faith in him, to trust him. So the first thing we see is failure. They'd fished all night, hadn't caught a fish. We come on down to verse 4, and in verse 4 and 5, he says this. He said, when he finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered and said, "Master, we've toiled all night, but at your word, I will put down the nets." So the second word I want you to write down is obedience. Success begins with failure. Jesus comes to Peter and these people in the midst of their failure, and overcoming failure requires obedience. So he takes them out there, and in these verses, there's two things. There is a command and there is a promise. He doesn't say, "Let down your nets and see if we can't catch something." He doesn't say, "Let down your nets and we'll see if maybe there's a fish or two out there someplace." He says, "Let down your nets." That's the command. He said, "For a catch." We're catching things today. He said, "You go out there and you put down your net." Now, you have to understand, God never gives foolish commands. Every command that God gives is something that is important for us to understand. And the second thing here is you need to understand that God will bless those who obey him. But here's something maybe you've never thought of. Sometimes I believe the greatest miracles usually require our cooperation. Now, think about that. You look at these verses, Peter was skeptical. Jesus says, "Launch out into the deep for a catch, let down your nets for a catch." Peter says, "But Lord, you know, look, you're just a rabbi, you're just a teacher. We're the fishermen here. I'm the professional. I do this for a living. And Jesus, we have been out there all night long and we didn't catch one single fish." Is that what he said? No. See, he was skeptical at first. We've been out there. We've got the experience. But we haven't caught anything. But in verse 5, he says, "But at your word." King James Version says, "Nevertheless, at your word." In spite of the fact that we have not been successful, in spite of the fact that we have failed, at your word, Lord, I'm going to do this. I think about that. It was at God's word that Abraham left his homeland going to a country that he didn't know. It was at his word that Noah began building an ark and became the laughing stock of everybody around him. And it was at God's word that Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. It was at God's word that Joshua marched around the city of Jericho 7 times and the wall fell down. It was at God's word that David flung that stone and killed Goliath the giant. At God's word, God promised that he would have a catch. But Peter still had to obey. Peter still had to go let down the nets, didn't he? He's the one who still had to set the sail to launch out into the deep. He was the one. God said, "Launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a catch." It wouldn't have happened if Peter hadn't done his part. God needs us to cooperate with him. St. Augustine said this. He said, "Without God, we can't. And without us, he won't." Third word, verse 6 and 7, is the word success. When you look at these verses, they had to catch a fish. They had so many fish in their net that they couldn't get them all in their boat, so they called for James and John. James and John brought their boat out there. They started putting the fish in those boats. Both boats were full of fish, almost to the point of sinking. I mean, this is a fisherman's lifetime dream. These guys are sitting in the boat, hauling the net in, dumping them, and fish are flopping around the bottom of the boat, and they're all high-fiving each other, woo-hoo, pumping their fist in the air. Saying, look at that! Have you ever seen that many fish? I've never seen that many fish in our boat in our entire life. This is incredible. You know what? The fish were in the lake all the time. God didn't miraculously create all those fish for them. They were there. They just hadn't been found. And God's got the blessings for you in your life. They're there already. You just haven't obeyed God to the point that you found what he's got for you to do. But Jesus is in the boat and everything is okay. Isn't it interesting that God allowed Peter to fail the night before? I think in order to learn what Peter could experience if he just learned to trust Jesus. Don't discount the failures of your life. Don't turn away from those things that you feel have beaten you down. Fourth word is the word humility. Success begins with failure. Overcoming failure requires obedience. Obedience brings success. And in this case, success produces humility. Success is sometimes hard to accept, isn't it? Peter says, depart from me, Lord. I'm not worthy to be in your presence. And he falls at the knees of Jesus in the boat. He knows that this miracle was because of Jesus. Have you ever noticed we can accept failure more readily than we can accept success? Ever wonder why? Because when we fail, we always have an excuse. Well, you know, the time just wasn't right to go that direction. That's why it didn't work. Or, you know, the boss hates me. I could do better, but the boss hates me. Or, you know, that job stunk. That's why I got let go. Or he didn't love me or she didn't love me. Or the referees weren't fair. The umpires weren't calling the game right. We always have an excuse when we fail. Losing's easy. And I think Peter's idea of success was a whole lot smaller than God's idea of success. Peter was thinking, maybe we catch a couple of fish. He had no idea that they were going to almost sink two boats with the number of fish that they caught. But when he saw God do the work that he knew was God's work, he understood that he was not worthy to be in the presence of. It kind of reminds me of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, doesn't it? Where Isaiah says, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. And the Lord said, don't say that. The angel came and took a coal off the altar, cleansed his lips. And Peter here humbles himself. This guy who was a rough, rugged, impetuous fisherman, his life now has been totally and deeply changed, transformed by an encounter with Jesus Christ. He said, get away from me, Lord. I'm not worthy to be here in your presence. So that success produced some humility. But then that humility in verse 10 and 11 leads to a commitment. I want you to look at this verse in verse 10. And also James, John, sons of Zebedee, partners with Simon. Jesus said to him, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll catch men. When they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and they followed him. Do you notice something there? Jesus ignores Peter's humble confession. He didn't say, you're right, you're not worthy. He didn't say, get up. He said, don't worry. He went on. He went from there. The confession of unworthiness. He knows the truth about Peter. He knows that Peter is going to be a great servant of his. And God can take a person and can really use them once that person understands their weakness and that the only ability they have comes from the strength of the Lord. I read a quote the other day. It says, when God wants to shake up the world, he's going to shake up some man or some woman first. And that's always the case. I came across a couple of phrases. One was kind of a one-sentence prayer that I decided to challenge myself with this year, and I put it on my desk, and The staff all has it now. Paul liked what I had. He made copies and gave to all of them, but it's this. And I'm gonna pray this prayer in my mind every morning. Lord, do things that I'm not used to. In other words, move me away from just what my comfort zone is. Do things in my life today that I am not used to. It's kind of like me saying, Lord, here's my life. I got it pretty well planned out. I got it pretty well ordered. But today, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give my job to you. I'm going to give my family to you. I'm going to give my friends to you. I'm giving my church to you. I'm giving everything to you today. And I want you to rearrange it to suit you. Lord, do things that I am not used to. You know what I've discovered in my 45 years of pastoring, 46, getting ready to go on the 46th year? God's will is always good, but it's not always comfortable. It's always good, but sometimes it moves you to things that you're not comfortable with. And His will is certainly not predictable. If you've got your life all planned out, then forget God showing you what He wants you to do. You know, think of Peter. One day he's out there catching fish. Next day he's walking down this dusty road with Jesus. One day he's arguing with Jesus about casting nets to catch some fish because he knew there wasn't any out there. The next day he's arguing with the Pharisees about how big of hypocrites they are. One day he's washing the smell of fish off of his hands, and the next day he's standing with Jesus watching Him raise someone from the dead. Peter and the disciples followed Jesus. I want you to look at that phrase again. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed Him. Let me ask you a question. What was in their boats? Nets? Fishing gear? And two boats so full of fish that they were about to sink. And when they got to the shore, they left their boats, they left their nets, they left the biggest catch of fish they had ever had in their entire life. They left everything and followed Jesus. They left everything. It's kind of like they burned the boats. The word followed is a Greek word which literally means to walk the same path. What is it that is keeping you from following the Lord? What is it that you need to leave behind? What do you need to put out there? What boat do you need to abandon? What's interesting is that Jesus gave them no guarantee. He didn't set out any deals. He didn't say, hey, follow me and I'll make life better for you. Don't be afraid to follow Jesus. There was a young man by the name of Charlie Riggs. He became a Christian, and as a young Christian, he was being mentored by an older gentleman. That older gentleman, they lived in New York, and that older gentleman was just thrilled with the growth that Charlie Riggs was experiencing. In 1957, Billy Graham wanted to have a huge one of his crusades there in New York. But the guy who is his manager, the general director of the crusades, got sick several months before, so he was scrambling, trying to find someone who could organize it. This elderly Christian came and said, I've got a young man I'm mentoring. He said, I think he's sharp. I think he can do it. His name's Charlie Riggs. Why don't you give him a chance? And Billy Graham said, well, he's too young. He's too mature. I don't think he can do it. But he did an outstanding job, probably one of the best crusades that he had had to that point. And from there on out, Charlie Riggs became the general manager, managing and setting up the crusades for Billy Graham for a number of years with great success. Came toward the end of his life, and he was being interviewed by a Christian magazine. And they asked him a question. It says, how was it as a young Christian, you could come in and you could do such a great job in organizing these crusades? And he said, my prayer every day was this: God, put me in over my head. He said, because I realized that as long as I could touch bottom, I was pretty secure in myself. But when I could no longer touch bottom, I had to depend upon the Lord, and I did. So here's what I've done. I've added that to my prayer. Lord, do things that I'm not used to and put me in over my head. Make that your prayer this week. I don't know, do we have that on a slide? Stick that up there just so you can see it. There it is. That's my prayer. Taking the failure of Peter, I mean that failure, his success begins with the failure. Overcoming failure requires obedience. That obedience brought the success brought humility, and the humility led to that commitment that said, Lord, I am going to leave everything and I'm going to follow you. So my prayer this year is, Lord, get me out of my comfort zone, do things I'm not used to, and put me in over my head. I guarantee you, if you would pray that every day with sincerity and you would really mean that, I think God could change 2018 for you in exceptional ways. The title of the sermon is, God Will Mess Up Your Life. I need to put another phrase past that, in a good way. In a good way. God's will, always good, not always comfortable. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.